The show you are about to hear is entirely improvised. All the cast know is that they will perform a story in the style of Jane Austen based on a live audience suggestion. And now, please welcome esteemed Jane Austen scholar, Dr. Sam Patton.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Jane Austen, of course known as the Swan of Hampshire for her long neck and her body covered entirely in feathers. It was also illegal to kill her unless you had permission from the Queen. Now, we all know Jane Austen wrote 6 complete novels in her brief lifetime, but recently it has come to light that she did, in fact, write more. We have discovered, myself and Austentatious, that Jane Austen did in fact write 795 complete works. Tonight we're going to perform one of those lost Jane Austen novels for you. And we have a live audience with us tonight who I'm sure all have their favourites. So please, would anyone like to share with me one of their favourite lost Jane Austen titles? Yes, madam?
Undead and Unwed.
Undead and Unwed! What a funny coincidence. But tonight, you're going to hear one of the most fabulous Jane Austen's lost works. So we are proud to present Jane Austen's Undead and Unwed.
Mr. Raven, I'm sorry to disturb you, particularly at this late hour, midnight, but I saw you out of my bedroom window.
Yes, Miss Palmer, I came to check that your gravel was good. And I thought that midnight would be an appropriate hour. I now see the error of my ways. Forgive me. I shall return to check your gravel in the morning.
Nonsense, Mr. Raven. Please, as you know, I am a widow. I have spent so long at this house on my own. I have often longed to look from the window and see a strange man checking my gravel at midnight. Not that you are strange, sir. You are a very eligible man, are you not?
I certainly am, and may I say, what a curious desire to keep cooped up in that pretty little head of yours.
Nobody has ever called my head pretty immediately after calling me strange.
Have they called it little?
Sir, it is a well-known fact that I have a freakishly small head.
Miss Palmer, forgive me. I should not be pestering a widowed woman, especially a recently widowed one. My condolences.
Please, sir, I have had nothing but condolences from everybody I meet. It is a great pleasure merely to be talking to another human being who is kind and unaffected by my sad situation.
To be sure, I am most moved by your sad situation.
I can see you stepped forward and thus... You were physically propelled by my sadness. Mr. Raven, do be careful. They do say a woman filled with tragedy is almost irresistible.
I simply must read the books you read.
Genevieve, I believe it's your turn to read aloud since I have finished my chapter.
Very well, sister, then I shall.
The two of us kept here inside this cottage, not having seen the light of day for weeks on end.
No,
anyone
indeed.
Would think that the village might be worried about us.
Well, I retain a sense of optimism, sister. Why, look, perhaps the village is... Oh, no, they're not.
No. I was about to say no one has knocked, but no, someone's knocked.
Ooh. Oh, sister, let me prepare myself.
It's just your servant, Bledlow.
Well, then you didn't need to knock, Bledlow. Come
in. Forgive me, madam. No inquiries from the village, madam.
Well, I think we'd pretty much figured that out.
Thank you, Bledlow, our daily arbiter of doom.
The rumours in the village are that this cottage is cursed. Ivy grows in weird shapes on the walls.
Well, we trained it that way, Bledlow. We put up a trellis.
A pentagram trellis,
well,
Miss Bickerstaff.
A pentagram by any other name.
It's just a star.
Just a star. I know exactly who's been putting these rumours around. It is our old enemy, Miss Palmer.
No, Genevieve, it can't be.
I am going to see her.
You are a brave young thing.
Yes, I am, aren't I? I'm plucky.
Son, where were you last night? I noticed your shadow creeping out the door.
I've told you, Father, I have gravel inspections to attend to.
Come into my bedroom. Do not just stand there gawking in the doorway.
Father, I'm not getting into bed with you again.
Why not? It is best if people, when they talk, have their heads at the same level.
It is such an irresistible logic.
Yes. Shuffle in, my boy. There we are.
You've been warming my side because you knew I'd come, haven't you?
Guilty. Son, I know where you went. I would say one thing. In that village, a woman who is widowed may not truly be a widow.
Now, I know the answer to this one. I do.
No, it does not have an answer.
Yes, if a woman is widowed and she isn't truly a widow, it's a, yes, it's a pigeon, isn't it? The answer is pigeon.
No, boy, let me put it this way. When someone is dead, are they dead?
Is it a pigeon?
Son, what I am trying to say is that in that cursed village, the dead do not always stay dead. And though you think she is eligible, that may not be the case. Now pass me my teddy bear.
Genevieve Bickerstaff, do take a throne.
Miss Palmer, I have come to talk to you about the things you have been spreading around the village. I know what you have been saying, and it is causing a great deal of mischief. You have been telling them yet again that my sister Mary and myself are witches or something of the like, that we have some kind of pagan or Satan business going on.
That is precisely what I have told them.
But why?
I have told them that you will ensorcel them, that you are wicked, wicked women.
Did you say ensorcel?
I'll give you its archaic.
Mrs. Palmer, in this day and age, it is hard enough for Mary and myself being unmarried women without you casting further aspersions on us simply because we live alone.
Which is precisely why I would think you would understand my position, you see. Now that my husband is gone, I cannot have triple threats like you wandering around. I am afraid of one thing, and it is loneliness.
Well, I'm afraid of one thing, Mrs. Palmer, and it is you.
Well, you're quite right, my dear.
Raven! Raven, my old friend, it's good to see you.
Good heavens, where have you been? My dear friend Barnaby Sykes.
Barnaby Sykes? Barnaby Sykes is back. Good to see you, Raven.
What brings you back to town, Barnaby Sykes?
Oh, I'm here for the season. I'm taking a holiday from London, from all my cares.
Oh, you must
come to London, Raven. It's wonderful there.
I would like to at some stage.
You're worried about your father, aren't you?
Yes.
How is he?
I'm worried about him. The gout is back, and he's also extremely horny.
Well, I see the old Raven ring on your little finger, but next to it, it has no companion. You're unwed. Come to London, Raven.
There is perhaps hope here.
Is there?
Yes, there's a beautiful woman whose husband's just died. She's
wife or
a
husband?
Woman. I don't know. She might be a pigeon. I don't know. Walk with me round the square.
Very well. Oh, how I've missed this old square.
Do you remember over here, Barnaby, we used to bathe in this fountain?
Of course we did.
It was desperately unhygienic.
And over here, the old horse trough. We used to drink from this horse trough.
And we both got diphtheria. Oh, Barnaby.
It's good to see you. Well, tell me about this woman. What is her name?
Her name is Miss Palmer.
Well, what's to stop you making her advance? Is she a good woman? Has she got gravel?
Oh, Barnaby, if you could see her gravel drive. Sometimes I wish I could just run my knuckles over...
over her
gravel drive.
Well, what's to stop you, my friend?
You know what? You're absolutely right. Why have I been such a fool? I should just get it out there, shouldn't I?
Absolutely.
Oh, Barnaby. Sykes.
What did she say?
Miss Palmer is as sinister as she ever was. She did not deny that it was her who was spreading those rumours, and she said she will continue to do so.
Oh, but why?
Because she is jealous. She is now another unmarried woman. She is on the market again, and she is worried that we are as well.
Well, we are.
Well, we are, although you would never notice it from how many visitors we have, which is, in case you've forgotten, zero.
Oh, I haven't forgotten.
Hello? Oh, you are a man come in.
I'm in a great deal of pain.
Well, you're a vulnerable man. You must come in.
Yes.
Don't sit down.
I was in an awful hurry somewhere and I sprained my ankle in the stirrup of my horse.
Oh. Well, sir, I have a tonic. It is brewing in the cauldron.
Oh, what has happened to me? I know who you are. You are the Bickerstaff ladies.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Or as people call you in town, the witchy witch ladies.
It's got worse since last time.
Yes, it has. So we need not fear us.
You just said you had a cauldron.
Yes, but it's full of medicine.
We do, sir. Look, it's just a big pot on top of a stove.
And the pentagram ivy?
It's just a star.
Please sit down, sir. Your ankle.
And do I drink this or put it on the ankle?
Both.
It's very thick. Oh.
Where were you on your way to, sir? Not many people come down this road.
I was on my way to the most beautiful gravel drive you've ever seen.
Chatsworth?
And beyond, no. There's the drive of Miss Palmer's house.
Sorry, sir. It's just there was something in my mouth.
Well, it's horrible. Go outside and do that.
Have some of this, Mary. It is the medicine. I mean, it's just vodka.
The medicine is vodka?
Yes.
Why was it so thick? I'm not sure you're making that right.
Sir, I hope it is not inappropriate to say this, but she is not a lady to be trusted.
You are the second person to tell me that in a week, but I cannot see it. She is but lightness and joy to me.
Sir, do you know why her driveway is so gravelled?
Why?
I think I need another vodka.
Don't worry, Gravel Drive. Nobody will ever know why you're so gravelly. The secret's safe between you and me. Stop talking to yourself, Laura. I'm so alone.
What is the truth behind Mrs. Palmer? What does she have in store for the Bickerstaff sisters and Mr. Raven? And what's with all that gravel? Find out in the climactic part 2. Until then, you've been listening to Jane Austen's Undead and Unwed. Ostentatious are Amy Cook-Hodgson, Graham Dixon, Charlotte Gittins, Carrie Adloyd, Joseph Morpurgo, Andrew Hunter-Murray, Daniel Niels-Roberts and Rachel Paris, with violin by Oliver Izod. The producer is John Harvey and it's a Naked production for BBC Radio 4.
Part 2 of Austen.